Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And of course, I am coming to you live with lots of love and just a little touch of southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to welcome all of you from all over the world, and I have a question for you. How are you doing today? My prayer is that you are blessed and highly favored. Well, it is a hot, humid day, but still wonderful here in Atlanta, and I have a great show for you today. I really want to thank all of my listeners for your loyalty, for your support, and for making the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show one of the most popular shows on Blog Talk Radio. Well, today you're going to be listening to the second part of my interview with Dr. John DeMartini from the hit movie The Secret. But before we hear that powerful message from Dr. DeMartini, I want to remind you to take advantage of my great coaching opportunities that I have designed specifically with you in mind. I am so grateful to be coaching people from all over the world, and I would love to partner with you to begin to help you to begin to live the life of your dreams. So are you ready? Today you will hear the second part of my interview with Dr. John DeMartini from the hit movie The Secret. The first part I aired about a year ago, and I just felt led for you to hear this second part. It is life-changing. It will transform your thinking, and your life will never be the same again after listening to this great interview with Dr. John DeMartini. So get ready, get your pen and your pad out, and begin to take very serious notes. God bless you. Let's listen. Today I have a very special guest, and I am so honored. I have Dr. John DeMartini. He is my very special guest today, and I must admit that I have listened to everything that I could find on the internet about him. I've listened to all of his audio, video presentations that I could find, and I have never researched a guest as intensely as I have Dr. John DeMartini. And I must say, I have certainly been enlightened and blessed by what I've heard. So let me introduce him. He is a behavior specialist, educator, and best-selling author. He has authored over 40 books in 14 different languages, and he has dedicated 34 years of his life to the understanding of universal laws and how they relate to human awareness and potential. He travels over 360 days per year to 56 countries. Isn't that powerful? And of course, he was one of the featured experts on The Secret. And I could go on and on and on, but the common thread that I have found with Dr. DeMartini is that his presentations are just so powerful. He is knowledgeable. He has insight and wisdom, but he comes from a very gentle place of love, gratitude, energy, and compassion. And I just want to welcome to the Think, Believe, and Manifest Show, Dr. John DeMartini.
Well, hi, Constance. Good afternoon.
Hi. How's your day been?
It's been great. I've been busy.
I know you have. Well, good. Well, I want to get as much information to our listeners as possible, and I've just been so moved by listening to everything that I've heard about you on the internet. I saw you on The Secret and was very moved by your compassion and gentleness, but after listening to all of those uploads on YouTube, I've been radically changed.
Well, I tend to ramble on and talk, don't I?
Well, let's get started. I know you've told your story so many times, but for those persons who've never heard it, please share your story with the listener.
Oh gosh, I better do a brief one, huh?
Uh-huh.
I was told in first grade that I would never be able to read, write, or communicate, never amount to anything, never go very far in life, and so I was told I better go into sports because I won't make it in thinking. And I did. I went into sports, and I eventually dropped out of school, and I ended up being a surfer. And then I lived in Hawaii surfing, and I nearly came to death there. I got really close to a near-death experience there and almost died. And then I had, in the process of kind of recovering from that, I met an absolutely amazing teacher named Paul Bragg, who one night, one hour, one message inspired my life to do what I'm doing today.
Wow.
So, you know, he told me that I had a genius inside me that I didn't know about and that I could bring it out and I could learn to read and learn to do something great with my life. And, man, that night I was so inspired. I said I wanted to be a teacher like this man and I wanted to travel the world. And so
wow.
Here it is, 36 years later, I'm doing it.
Wow. Do you believe that God or Spirit has somebody for everybody to sort of motivate them or speak encouragement into them or mentor them? Do you believe that?
Yeah, you know what I think? You know, I really believe that I was at the right time at the right place to meet the right person. I really believe that was a synchronous event. You know, when you look back in your life, you can see a hidden order in the apparent chaos that you think is there. And I always say when you can look back and see the hidden order and be grateful for what you have and all the things you've been through, that's when you're fueled for new possibilities. And I can say now, looking back, I'm very grateful for those experiences. And if I hadn't been told what I was told and had the experiences, I wouldn't be here today. So I'm very grateful.
Right. So do you believe that every human being has a calling or a mission?
I believe it's inherent inside us. Every human being has a set of values, a set of priorities, a set of things that are most to least important in their life. And whatever's highest on their value, what's most inspiring, whatever's the absolutely highest priority is an expression of their mission in life, their purpose in life. The ancient Greeks called it the telos, and the study of it was called teleology. And I believe that it's inborn. It's natural to call, to be called from within to do something amazing with your life, and that's sitting there in everyone. And I love watching people unveil that and take away the shroud and the veil that's stopping it from shining, because I believe it's sitting inside everyone ready to come out.
Absolutely. So all the people who've been downsized and who are unemployed and who've feel frustrated and sort of stagnant right now, this is a great opportunity for them, right?
Well, there's never a crisis without a blessing. We've all heard that, but it's so true. And there's never a window shut without a door opening. That's been told throughout the ages, and it's true. But we have to stake the time and look. If we don't look, we don't find. We focus on the problem, not the solution. We focus on the crisis, not the blessing. We focus on the scar, not the star. And we end up holding ourselves back from our brilliance.
Okay. That's powerful. So today we're going to talk about creating wealth and well-being through economic crisis.
I like that one.
That sounds powerful, so I'm waiting for you to say something really powerful. Go ahead.
Well, one thing I'm absolutely certain on, that whenever there's a crisis out there, it just means that we're now going to get really honest with ourselves and what's really priority, what's really important, what's our real talent, what's our real service, and get authentic and genuine and original and create something that's a service to people and focus now on how we can serve people. You know, as long as we go and fill a need, solve a problem, solve a mystery, tackle a challenge, or fill a void for another human being, then there's wealth available to us. All we have to do is go out of our way and get off our butt and do it. I got a little bitty butt because I've been working my butt off all my life.
So what does well-being mean to you?
Well, well-being originally meant wholeness and integration and fullness. Aristotle said that when a human mind doesn't see the order of the universe, it feels empty. But when it looks again and has fulfillment, it feels full, and it sees the wholeness of life. And I'm a believer that deep inside, the crises that we have actually are trying to guide us to do something extraordinary that is fulfilling to ourselves and others. And this is the time. I mean, the challenging that economics we're having is making us set priorities and get real about service to people. We can't slack. We're here to really serve, and we have to get off our butt and do it.
And so a person who's been downsized, what would you say to them?
I'd say that you must be destined to do something entrepreneurial and do something creative and honor your talents more effectively than what you've been doing. And I think that what it does, it's making you, you know, if you sit there and you wallow in the problem instead of focusing on the solution, it goes nowhere. But if you use this opportunity to spend the energy not on the concentrating on how it's not working, but what you can do to work, there's lots of opportunities right now to make a lot of money for people. So we just got to get out there and go and find the new niches. When a tree falls in the forest or is cut, new branches that are now once shading the ground are now free with light, and now little plants and herbs and bushes and all kind of new growth can occur. Well, that's us. We now have a lot of innovation that we can bring to the world right now.
And so I know you said you are never given a problem that you can't solve.
Well, I don't believe you can even perceive it. It was Immanuel Kant who basically showed that there's an innate experience inside, an innate representation of space and time. And anytime we see an event out there, we can't see it or define it without having a solution. And so I believe very strongly that if we can see the problem, we have a solution. We just got to go in there and trust ourselves. Sometimes we look for other people to give us that solution, but we're really looking for somebody to confirm what we already know.
So you talk a lot about service, and I believe, like you, that we will all put her on earth to be solutions and to serve others. So do you think that the main focus in America has been on getting money and getting and not really serving and giving? And so how does a person change that when their priority has been making money?
Well, I think I don't have any problem with making money. I think money is just an exchange for service. But when you try to get something for nothing and you end up having to give something for nothing. So I always say that it's wise to have something for something. Make sure you have fair exchange.
Okay.
And it's not wise to over or under exaggerate that or minimize that. It's best to be true about it. And so right now, if you try to get rich quick, you end up getting rich slow. The wise thing to do is get rich through serving people, which is the richness of life. There's nothing more fulfilling than making a difference in somebody else's life and contributing their life, and then putting a value and contributing back to yourself with fair exchange.
Right.
In my book, How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Get to Heaven, I talk very diligently about how important fair exchange is. And that's meaning going to making an amazing service and find real needs and fill them, and then honor yourself with rewards.
Absolutely. So what are some simple steps for creating wealth? What would you say?
Well, the first thing you do is you take a portion of whatever you make and you set it aside. Because if you never save your money, you'll be working your life for it instead of having it work for you. You'll be its slave instead of its master. So you take a portion, even if you think you can't afford it, you take a portion of it and you save it immediately. Then what happens if you've got bills, you convert your bills into service. You find out how much you owe and then go find out how many units of service you can provide people. And what happens is you focus on units of service of helping people. The debts go away. The bills go away. You focus on the bills, the people go away. The service goes away. You have to convert all monies that you owe into services that you can give. When you do, then your debt disappears.
Wow, that's very powerful. I know that I'm a coach, and I've been talking to a lot of people about identifying their gifts and talents, and wherever your gifts are, that's where your money is. And so what would you say to people about who might say, well, you know, Dr. DeMartini, I don't know where my gifts are. I don't know what I'm really great at. What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, that's bull. I tell them that they're eating bull crap. You know, I say that's not true. You have amazing gifts, and you're lying to yourself saying you don't have it. What happens is they've got the seven fears in life that stop them from admitting what they have. Because what they have is they have the fear of breaking the morals and ethics of some outside spiritual authority, or they have the fear of not being smart enough or degreed enough. They have the fear that somehow they're not going to succeed or they're going to fail. They have the fear of losing money or not making money. They have the fear of losing loved ones or the respect of loved ones. They have the fear of somehow being rejected by people or ridiculed. And then they fear they don't have the body or the beauty or the health it takes. But whenever those fears are there, that clouds the clarity of the sunny truth that sits in the heart that's trying to radiate the mission in life and the service in life and the talent and mission and destiny they have. So they have to go inside and break through that fear, walk through that fear and say, hey, this is what I really would love to do and what my service is, and let's be integrity with it and go out and then offer it to people. You know, if you don't, if you're fear of rejection, you're going to end up rejecting yourself. I'd rather have other people reject me than myself.
Right, absolutely. So do you tell people to take time out during the day and to meditate and to visualize and then get up and move and take inspired action?
You just said it perfectly. I believe if we take a moment every day and think about what we're grateful for, that clears the cobwebs out of the consciousness, and allows the heart and sunny truth, which is the true solution. The word solution comes from the word soul, S-O-L, which means sun, when the light's coming through. And when we're in that state, that's when our inspired vision and our inspired affirmation.
Wow.
That's when the magic occurs. And if we do that, that's when we get our really most powerful vision and opportunities. And then if we take action on it, I mean, I'm a firm believer in action. If you're not taking at least 7 major action steps a day towards your dreams, you're holding yourself back.
Oh, I know you come from the position of gratitude, and I just love that. Could you expound on that a little bit? Because so many people are talking about what they don't have. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that. But I just love it that you really come from the posture and the power of a grateful heart.
Well, you know, I was born on Thanksgiving Day, so I guess it was my genetics.
Ah.
And my mom told me when I was 4, you know, son, make sure you count your blessings, because those who are grateful for what they got, they get more to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that gratitude is the key that opens up the gateway of the heart, and inside the heart is love and presence and certainty and power and an inspiration. And what happens is all of a sudden when we have that, man, the cobwebs are cleared and we're free. And I think that if we get gratitude going, we get the most powerful actions we can have. That's when we're not wavering with uncertainties, but that's when we're clearer with the soul. I always say when human will and divine will are united and joined, that's when we have the most inspired and most powerful contribution to planet.
Do you believe that love is the greatest power in this earth, in this world?
It's not only the greatest power, it's the greatest healer, it's the greatest life. It's, you know, it's the greatest part of life. That's it.
Right.
Without that, we don't have life.
Right. Did you write a book on the heart of love?
I wrote a book called The Heart of Love, and I wrote another book called Count Your Blessings, The Healing Power of Gratitude and Love.
Could you expound on those a little bit?
Yeah, well, The Heart of Love is about how to have relationships move to new levels and how to break through the conflict and issues that are facing it and breaking through the myths that are holding it back so the love and intimacy is available to us, and how to, you know, transcend the heel mate into a soul mate, if you will. And I think that that love is the key to that, and gratitude is the key to it. And then the Count Your Blessings book, which has been out for many years now, and it's sold all over the world, that is a fabulous book on healing and how gratitude and love are the two greatest healers on the planet. And it's stories of inspiration of people who healed their life through gratitude and love.
Well, pal, so why do you think that almost 55% of all people who get married get divorced?
Well, I think that many times people get the dopamine fix of infatuation when they first get together and become blinded by the downsides of the person and project a fantasy onto people instead of actually getting to know the person and loving the person. They love the fantasy that they've got. And then when the real person shows up, they doesn't match the fantasy. They feel somehow let down. I think it's wise to, you know, get to know the person, make sure this is a real person, make sure you don't, you've broken your fantasies before you actually tie the knot. And I think
everybody
that
says infatuation feels so wonderful. It feels great.
Well, you know what's interesting is infatuation is blindness, and love sees true. And when you're infatuated with something, they occupy space and time in your mind and run you, and you end up eventually resenting them because you're not being yourself around them. You minimize yourself relative to them. And then you have the dopamine withdrawal symptoms of grief when they leave or they don't match your fantasy. So I think it's wiser to go beyond the dopamine fix and go all the way to the truth of love. Because the magnificence of love is far greater than any fantasies we can impose on people.
Well, I heard your story about grief. What is your belief about grief? Because I know that your wife passed, and you shared something very phenomenal about grief. And I know so many people are grieving the loss of the job and the loss of their new home. What could you share about that?
Well, I always say that the master lives in a world of transformation, never the illusions of gain and loss. And so what I did is as strange as this may sound, I have a science. I call it the DeMartini method, and it's basically a science of asking questions. Whenever you think something's lost, you ask, what's the new form it's in? And I was amazed. I asked, you know, when my wife passed away, I was blown away by the transformation that occurred. I come down from the penthouse downstairs the next morning to go down to get some breakfast, and the lady at the counter at the penthouse all of a sudden started talking to me. Now, I never talked to this lady before that. All of a sudden, she's conversing with me as I'm getting the mail. And so she had conversations like my wife did. Then when I went over to get breakfast, then all of a sudden there was another lady there that started talking to me, just like my wife used to do. Then when I went walking on the beach, there were two ladies that came up to me and started talking to me. Then when I got back, I got another lady that called me. I was amazed at how my wife showed up in a multitude of people, different components of her. And so instead of feeling the loss, I just was thankful for the transformation and the new form. And when I did, I felt the presence. And when you honor the presence, because when you die, you don't want people to be remorse, bereavement, grief. You want them to get on with their life. And so I figured the best honoring I can do to my wife is to feel her presence and to see the transformation.
Wow. So someone who's lost a home, you would say to them?
That they just saved themselves a mortgage cost. They just set themselves free of a burden of paying high interest rates. No, what they do is they didn't lose anything. They've got closer to the family. They've now got they get the priorities. They get themselves off the hook of a long-term mortgage. They might now be able to go in at a better mortgage in the next few months at a cheaper price.
Mm-hmm.
They got to look at the blessing side, because if not, they're going to be sitting there and wallowing in the problem and not get into action on the solution.
Okay. Explain a little bit more about what is the DeMartini method.
Well, the DeMartini method is a series of questions that you ask yourself, because the
okay.
quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask. And so it's a series of questions that liberate the mind from emotional baggage and bondage that's, in a sense, keeping people small. And it's basically liberating you to get on with your life, to live more inspired and full. And it's a scientific set of questions that liberate you from conflict, and liberate you from stress, and liberate you from emotions of shame or guilt or resentment or infatuation or pride or anything that's holding you back from your real authentic self.
So a person who's been downsized, what sort of questions should they be asking themselves?
Well, if a person has been kind of shrunk because of the environment, then what they want to do is, what's the real dreams that are bigger than these obstacles? Because if you don't have a vision bigger than your obstacles, the obstacles win. But inside the soul, there's always a dream and a vision. You know the biblical statement, those without a vision perish, those with a
Absolutely.
Vision flourish.
Absolutely.
We've got to go and get into you might say that Christ awareness, which is basically the vision. And realize that the soul never forsakes the vision. It's always waiting for you to see it. You just got to get gratitude enough to get it.
Right, right. And you really talk about getting clear on what you want and really having a lot of details around your visualization. I know that really helped me. Could you expound on that? Because most people say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to think about what I want. But then, Constance, I can only hold my thoughts for like 7 seconds. So what would you say to a person about actually visualizing in detail form with imagery, color, feeling, emotion, et cetera?
Well, any detail they leave out of their vision is a detail that becomes an obstacle and challenge that somebody imposes. So there's a law called Parkinson's Law, and Parkinson's Law states that any space and time that's not filled with high-priority things that inspire you will automatically get consumed by low-priority things that will drive you nuts. So if you don't want to be nuts, you want to get inspired, you need to concentrate on what you really want. And always start with what you know and let what you know grow by adding more detail to what you know. And just keep asking and meditating and then going inside and saying, all right, what else do I know? What else do I know? What else detail? And just keep creating a master plan. How are you going to have a masterful life if you don't have a masterful plan?
Right. So when you were 17 years old and the gentleman spoke into your life, did you begin to visualize and see yourself traveling all over the world and changing people's lives and really making an impact in the universe?
Well, I saw when I was 17 years old that night when I met Paul Bragg, I sat there on the Sunset Recreation Hall, the North Shore of Oahu, on the floor with 35 other young students, teenagers and 20-year-olds. And I sat there, and he took us through this guided imagery meditation experience, and I saw a vision of me stepping out onto a balcony in front of a million people in a giant square.
Wow.
And I stood out there, and I could feel a million people below, and I saw that, and I thought, wow. And I could feel the presence, and all of a sudden I was an orator, and I was speaking, and I was talking about the power of spiritual healing and the power of love, and I was there. I was so real that my virtual reality far exceeded my reality of that room. About 15 or 20 minutes later, I came back in the room. I was dripping in tears, and everybody in the room was in tears. I looked up at the front of the room, and I saw Paul Bragg there, and he had his eyes closed. He was looking up. His hands were on his knees sitting there, and you could almost read his mind saying, thank you, dear God, for revealing to these young souls their destiny. And I saw a vision that was so profound for me that I knew what I knew at the time, that I wanted to do that. And I set out on a vision to do that. I wanted to travel the world and be a teacher, healer, and philosopher and step foot in every country in the face of the earth and share my research findings with people and inspire and help people have magnificent lives. So that for 36 years and 5 months now, bam, that's all I've done.
Wow. You've also said if you don't plant flowers in the garden of your own mind, you're going to be pulling the weeds of other people. Explain that.
Well,
when
I was 4 years old, I had a lady named Mrs. Grubbs lived next door that had big gardens all over her yard, and she used to pull weeds and stuff, and I was pulling weeds around my yard,
mm-hmm.
and she leaned across the fence one day, and she said, son, if you don't plant flowers in your garden, you're going to keep pulling weeds. You got to plant a flower in that thing, or otherwise the weeds will keep choking it. And I thought, okay. So I went out and got a big bag of lima beans and stuck lima beans around the entire house. My whole house got covered in vines. It was hilarious. But what happened is it taught me that if I don't plant flowers in the garden of my mind, which is what inspires me, I'm going to end up pulling weeds and have to just deal with all the frustrations. So the key is to get into action and detailed vision of exactly how you want your life instead of how you don't. And it's got to be congruent with your values. It's got to be real and authentic. You can't exaggerate it without a strategy to get it. And you want to make sure that it's detailed enough where nothing can stop you from it. Okay. That's what makes magic.
Okay. You talk about the hierarchy of values. Explain that to the listeners. What does that mean?
Well, as I said a moment ago, that everybody has a set of values or priorities in their life, and whenever they set goals that are congruent and aligned with their highest values, they electrify their leadership, and they have certainty, and they walk their talk, and they tend to do what they say. But people who set goals that are not aligned to their highest values, that are inauthentic, they tend to, you know, limp their life and start doubting themselves because they tend to procrastinate, hesitate, and frustrate. So the key is to set congruent goals and align with that and make your values, your goals, match. If they don't match, then you got a brake on instead of a gas pedal on.
Absolutely. I know for many years, I have 2 degrees, one in business and one in counseling. And all of those years that I was working at IBM, I was so frustrated because I wasn't truly aligned to who I really am and what I'm called to do. And immediately when I just began to walk in the area of helping and coaching people, I felt very aligned with what I was really truly called to do and to be.
Well, you're a free spirit and independent that has your own genius and calling that's sitting there, and you didn't want to be told what to do.
You're so right, because man, I was so bored sitting behind that computer, and I am not a 9-to-5 person. I'm very creative, and just like you said earlier, I think this is a great opportunity for people who've been really bored going to work. I mean, you have 75% of people not loving what they do, and now they may not have that job, and I think this is just a great opportunity.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And most people have Monday morning blues, Wednesday hump days. Thank God it's friggin' Friday and week friggin' ends. I don't. Every day is Sunday to me. I mean, there is no weekends. There's no days. I don't even pay attention to that. I do what I love every day. So I don't think about, oh, it's a weekend time. Every day is a day.
I noticed that because when I was watching you on the internet, every time you were interviewed, it came through with passion. You were very energetic, and it was just like it was the first time that you had shared with an audience.
You know, I guess
I
always say when you can't wait to get up in the morning to do what you love to do, man, the world can't wait to get your service.
Wow.
If you're not inspired about getting up and serving people, you're missing out on life.
Okay, so share some light on. Or what interferes with people manifesting. And everybody wants to know, well, I've seen The Secret, and it was so widely received. Why do you think it was widely received, and why do you think that people are not manifesting? That's the main question everybody wants to know.
It's really simple. Everybody is manifesting, but they may not be thinking they're manifesting what they want because they keep setting goals and aren't really aligned to their true values. See, we always manifest according to our highest values. And whenever we're setting goals that are based on injected values from others or some fantasies that we've read about or something, then we feel, why is it not happening? I'm not manifesting. But when they look at what their real values are and what their life really demonstrates, they're manifesting. So what we have to do is make sure they're congruent. The second they do, they realize they're masters of the secret. We all are masters of the secret at our true values. We just don't sometimes honor our true values. Can I share a story?
You can, please.
I had a doctor that came up to me, and he said, Dr. DeMartini, I want you to help me become successful. And I said, fantastic. I said, where are you successful? He says, Dr. DeMartini, I'm not. I want to be. Help me be. I said, great. So where are you successful? He said, Dr. DeMartini, you're not listening to me. I'm not. I want to be. And I said, you're not listening to me. Where are you? And he goes, well, I don't know. I said, look. He said, well, I guess I have a successful relationship with my wife. We've been together 10 years now. I said, fantastic. I said, where else are you successful? Well, I'm a coach for baseball. My son's in the baseball team. We may win the pennant this year. I said, great. Where else are you successful? We have flowers all over the yard, and we may get yard of the month this summer. Well, what else are you successful? Well, my mother-in-law lives with us, and most people don't get along with their mother-in-law, and we have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. I said, good. Where else are you successful? Well, I'm a lay minister at my church, and I love doing that since my 20s, and I guess that's successful. And we made a list of all his successes, and he was kind of amazed at how many he found when he looked. And then I said, well, the only way you can feel you're not successful is compare yourself to somebody else. So who are you comparing yourself to?
Wow.
He said, this doctor up on this hill, it's got this 7,000 square foot home and 3-car garage and big practice. I said, I got a question. Is he married? Yes. How's his relationship with his wife? Oh, there's talk about divorce. And how's it? Did he have kids? Yeah. You have a son? Yeah. Well, how's his relationship with his son? Well, he's on medication. He's in going to a psychiatrist. And what about the yard? Well, they have people that take care of it. I don't think they notice it. And what about the mother-in-law? Well, they moved out of the country to get away from her. What about the church? Well, they don't go to church. I said, could you see yourself right now trading places with him and have the life he has? If you had all the business and financial success, would you be willing to handle his relationship and his spiritual life? He goes, oh, God, no. I said, well, let me explain to you. You have just as much success as this man, but yours is in family and spirituality because those are higher on your values, and business and finances are lower, and his is business and finances is high on his values, and spirituality and family is lower. So he has no more success. He has a different form of success. You got to honor yours, and you'll be master of the secret.
Ah, wow. So what do you believe about God or spirit?
Well, I kind of think that anything I could ever imagine it to be, it's that and more. There's no way I could limit that. It's ever-present. It's omnipresent. And I believe that every action and everything that we're all participating in is part of it. And if we don't see it as part of it, we got to look again until we see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, another question, I had a couple of my friends, they said, make sure you ask Dr. DeMartini this question. They want to know, Dr. DeMartini, how can they find true love?
Well,
they want to be married and in a committed relationship, and they've been changing their thoughts, and they've been visualizing, and they feel that they are truly aligned to be married and have a great committed relationship, but nothing's happening. What would you suggest?
I would say that love is never missing. It's always present, but you sometimes confuse love with infatuation, and you're wanting somebody to be a dopamine fix, and when you do, you hold out on them and miss out on the magnificence of love that's around you 24 hours a day. How can God be ever-present and omnipresent and not be surrounded by love? So that's my view, and I always say that love is always a balance of opposites, and we're always surrounded by it. But if we're looking for an intimate relationship, as I explain in my Heart of Love book, you have to make sure you write down everything that you're looking for, and then you got to write down everything that's the opposite of that, because you're going to get both.
Ah,
why
is that?
Well, because everybody's got every trait. When I went into the Oxford Dictionary and I went through 4,600 human traits, I found out I had every one of them. So I was nice and mean at times, and kind and cruel at times, and giving and taking at times, and generous and stingy, and sometimes honest and dishonest. I had everything when I looked honestly at myself. And so what I did is I realized, man, if I can't love myself for all the parts, I'm not ready to love somebody else with all their parts. I got to have a realistic expectation and know that everybody's got every trait in life. And when you do, you're now open for a true relationship instead of a fantasy.
Oh, powerful. Talk a little bit about healing. A person who may be suffering from a disease, how can they begin to bring healing and wholeness into their lives? I know you're a doctor. What would you share with our listeners?
Well, I would take that disease, and I'd call it Mrs. Disease, and I'd say, what are all the things I can be thankful for, Mrs. or Mr. Disease? And I would list no less than 200 different thank yous.
Wow.
And I mean, so what's the blessing come out? Well, I've gotten closer to my family. I've learned about health. I've been eating better. I've gotten closer to my husband. You know, I've learned about health care. You know, yeah, and I've now started taking care of my teeth better, I'm now walking. I'm now appreciating my job. I'm taking time off. I'd sit down and write down 200 blessings that have come out of that until you're in gratitude for what it's teaching you. Because I'm a firm believer that the disease and the symptoms that we experience are feedback mechanisms to make sure that we see life wholly and with love. And the second we are grateful, our heart opens, we feel love, and we start to heal. So at first we want to say, what's the blessings to it? Then we want to obviously do what's wise as far as our diet and our health and our exercise and our basics that we have command over. And then if we must have outside assistance, then we want to make sure we find somebody that resonates with our own life, so we're making sure that we're doing something that we feel agreement to, because 27% of all healing is the mind game, at least 27%.
I know you talk a lot about gratitude, how you were teaching people to be grateful in the morning when they get up and then at night to be grateful. I think that's just powerful. And so do you do that every morning and every night, or is that kind of like an all-day thing with you?
Well, it's throughout the day sometimes, but it's every morning and evening. Now, I can tell you what, it's really cool. I've got the largest collection of gratitudes listed that anybody I know. It's a huge volume. And it's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of gratitudes. I do them every day.
So do you write them down?
I write them every day. I type them every day. Used to be written. Now it's typed.
And you say it out loud. I'm
grateful. Well, as I'm typing and I'm saying it, but they're just everything that I've been grateful for the day. I mean, this will be on there tonight, this interview. And I just got asked to do a PBS special this morning and another magazine interview.
Congratulations.
We've got a reality TV show. There's lots of stuff going on. I got so much to be grateful for. And when you do, you get more to be grateful for.
So why do you think that they contacted you for The Secret? Were you believing for that, or were you just in the universe serving and giving, and that was attracted to you because of your service?
I think it's a little of both. I think I was out there, and my name was known to some degree, and I think that they were looking for me. They found me on the websites, and I've been teaching that material since I was 17. So I think after 34 years of teaching that, I think that I kind of earned the right for that, I guess.
Right. Did your life drastically change after The Secret, and how?
I can't say it drastically changed. You know, I was speaking 362 speeches the year before I met the people from The Secret. And then that year after The Secret, I think I did 427, and then it went to 401 last year. This year it's probably going to be around 400.
Right.
So I speak. I've been speaking before The Secret and after The Secret and during The Secret.
Well, you know, I see such diligence in you, and I know so many people say, well, you know, I'm believing, but they don't get up and do anything. What is it in you that makes you so diligent, and how do you stay so refreshed and motivated?
Well,
I know it's because you love what you do and you're called to do what you do, but what could you say to just an average person? How can they begin to bring diligence and discipline into their own lives?
Well, you know, you're always disciplined according to your highest values. If you don't give yourself permission to go and live your life according to those and be true to yourself, you're going to have a break on all your life, and you're going to hold that back. So I always say give yourself permission to be somebody extraordinary and amazing in the world. One of my books is you can have an amazing life in just 60 days. And it's 60 things people can do to give themselves permission to do that. And I'm a firm believer that you got to give yourself permission to do something extraordinary, because if you're worried about what other people think, you'll never be a leader in life. You got to be out there and go. The greatest people in history were first ridiculed, violently opposed, and self-evident over time. You have to go out there and be able to go and do what you really love to do and just take the risk in doing it. Because, man, the energy frees when you do.
Okay, what do you mean by giving yourself permission? Shed a little bit more light on that. That means that a person would need to...
Well, they sometimes let those seven fears I mentioned earlier hold them back. A fear of what people will think, fear they're going to lose loved ones, fear that they might fail at it. And so what they do is they've got their clouds in front of them. They don't see the sun. And they don't allow themselves to just go for it and break through the clouds and take off and see that there's always the sunshine sitting out there. We have to be able to walk through the darkened doorway where fear lurks and actively turn on the light, as they said.
And so how does a person walk through fear? I mean, if you're fearful, what are some simple things that they can do?
They just take an action every single day towards what they dream about. Every day, just some little action, one step towards that dream, one step, and you'll build momentum over a while doing that. You know, I wanted to write a book at one time, so I figured, okay, I'll break a book down. It's 200 pages. I break it down into 200 days. I'll do a page a day. And then I broke that down into three paragraphs, and I'll write three paragraphs every 3 to 4 hours. I mean, a paragraph every 3 to 4 hours. And I broke that down into 3 or 4 sentences per paragraph, and I just write that every so many minutes. And I broke it down into, by the inch, it was a cinch.
Well, that's amazing. You know, it's so interesting because people ask me, how are you going to have an opportunity to interview Dr. DeMartini? I said, I sent an email. And did you know him? No, he doesn't know me. I sent an email, and then Linda called me back, and then I called her back. And I think that's just a prime example of taking a small action step.
Well, you know what? I always say the people who take small action steps live big dreams.
Ah.
And piggy banks become biggie banks if you just put the pennies away over enough periods of time.
Okay. I'll share a little insight on perception. I know you said you can alter your life by altering your perception, attitudes, and mind.
Well, I always say that it's never what happens to it. It's how we perceive it. William James, the father of modern psychology, said that the greatest discovery of human behavior is that people can alter their lives by altering their perceptions and attitudes of mind. And I really believe that if you ask a different question, you'll get a different perception, you'll get a different reality. And amazing things can be turned out of things you think are crises. Because I really believe, and I almost died when I was 17. That turned out to be the greatest turning point of my life. And I was told I would never read, write, or communicate. Look what I do today. That's all I do is read, write, and communicate. So the crises are the blessings. And we want to shrink from that and make our life easy. But the real master is the one that goes after the challenges instead of trying to shrink from them.
Well, why do you think that 5% of the population possesses all of the wealth? That's very interesting to me.
Well, I believe that the people who value money and value themselves end up with it. If you don't value you and you don't value money, they don't come together. You know, until you value you, the world doesn't value you. Until you pay yourself first, others won't pay you first. Until you invest in yourself, no one else will. And you got to appreciate money, because if you don't value money and all you want to do is get money to spend things, you're going to keep spending it, not saving it. And if you never save it, it never works for you. And you're going to be working it for money all your life. You have to be able to value you and money to bring those together. In my book, How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Get to Heaven, I have a whole chapter or two on just the transforming perceptions of how money is in your life so you can start to receive again.
Wow. So how did you come up with that title? That's a great title. I love it.
I was walking down Madison. I was living in New York, and I was getting ready to walk back to Trump Tower. I was walking down Madison Avenue, and boom, that popped in my head, and I wrote it down on a napkin at a restaurant that night. And I said, I'm going to put that together, because so many people have a block of receiving, and they're thinking altruistically, but they can't receive, and they're sitting there minimizing themselves instead of honoring themselves. And I always say that you must do a service for people, but you must also reward yourself. And when you go and give all you can as much a service, and you then receive all the rewards and save it, it works for you, and you build wealth.
Okay. So what do you think needs to happen to change our economy in the U.S.?
I think everybody needs to turn off the TV if they're going to listen to the TV and how terrible it is, and go focus on serving people. I think I'd be sitting and getting creative. I mean, I'm right now thinking of new ways constantly of how we can bring more messages to more people, radio, television, media, newspaper, any form, every possible way in every country I possibly can. And when you do, you find immediately electrifying ideas pop in your head and how you can do it. And as long as you're concentrating on that, economics change. So
wow.
I think everybody just needs to get out there and find how they can serve and go in there and quit lying to themselves saying, I don't know what it is that I can do, and just focus on action. Do something. Go and ask somebody, what do you need? How can I help you? What do you need? How can I help you? How can I help you?
So you're big on focus.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't focus on how you want it, everybody else is going to focus on how they want it.
Right. Do you watch television at all? I'm just curious.
The only time I watch TV is when I'm on there. That's funny. I get asked to go on TV, and that's about the only time I really watch it. But sometimes I've discovered it, you know, Discovery Channel and stuff. But see, I'm flying constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm researching and writing on the planes as I'm going from country to country. And so I don't do a lot of TV. Sometimes I'll see an edge of a movie, but usually my friends are in the movie, so I'll watch them and then talk to them, you know, that way.
And I understand that you've studied how many disciplines?
276 disciplines now.
Okay, name some of them just for our listeners.
Oh, I mean, I love studying everything. I mean, I could go up on Tentum. I mean, any form of mathematics, science, religion, philosophy, astronomy, metaphysics, I mean, psychology, sociology, physiology, every ology you can imagine I've delved into.
So would you say you're a genius?
Well, a genius is one who listens to the inner voice and obeys and follows the inner vision and illuminates. And I feel that I am, and I think everybody is deep inside. They just sometimes don't honor it and recognize it.
Wow. Well, I want you to share a little bit about your services, the Breakthrough Experience. I've heard so many great things about that. Share with our listening audience what that is.
Well, the Breakthrough Experience is my signature program that I've been blessed to share in, I think, 56 countries. And it's a two-day live event that I take people through. It's a workshop, and I basically do everything I can in 24 hours. Imagine 24 hours of me. 24 hours, and we just do everything we can to break through whatever is in the way of what we really, really, really want. And if people say and lie to themselves saying, I don't know what I want, I slap them around and get it out of them. We find out what it is. And they amazed, because, see, the soul doesn't shrink us. It's our senses and fears that shrink us. Our soul calls us to greatness, and all we have to do is get past our fears of our senses and get on with the soul's mission, and that's where the power is. And I help people do it in the Breakthrough. I help them set a new set of questions for life, a new way of living in the way they look at their life, a new vision for their life. There's amazing stuff sitting inside people, and I watch it come out every weekend when I do it.
Okay, so how often do you conduct a Breakthrough Experience?
Last year, 42 times over the weekends, 42 weekends out of the year I did it.
So give me one example that sort of stands out in your mind of a person who was just phenomenally changed.
Well, I could go give you a thousand of them. I had a lady in London just the other day that was under medication for schizoid bipolar condition and anxiety, and she came to the breakthrough experience. She started to run out because she was challenged by having to face the truth about her life. She wanted to run out, and I went and grabbed her. I said, listen, I said, this is your opportunity to see how great you are. She said, I'm scared. I said, why? She said, because I'm afraid of having to be accountable for what I really want to do. I said, you have a dream inside. You can't hold that back. Your body is trying to give you symptoms to let you see that. She broke down in tears. I put my arms around her, and I had her go back to work and draw out what she wanted to do. Now, this was back in, I think it was September of last year, and I just saw her in London just the other day, about a week and a half ago. And she was with tears in her eyes, and she's going on, and she started her business that she wanted to do. Her so-called disease and her symptoms have gone. Her medications are gone. She's focused now. She's inspired now. That's the kind of things I see. I had another lady that has not talked to her son in 17 years, came to the breakthrough experience, did the Demartini method, cleared the emotions associated with him leaving, because she felt she undermined something in his life and didn't honor what he wanted, and he disappeared. And that very night, at 2 in the morning,
wow,
2 in her time, which is a different time where he was, he contacted her with tears in his eyes and said, it's time for me to come and be with my mom again.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I have story after story of people. We had a person who in Calgary, Canada, who had intestinal problems and had been under 11 years' worth of medication for this chronic Crohn's condition. And she cleared her emotional baggage dealing with her dad, dealing with a sexual issue that they had. She broke through it, and all of a sudden she came out on the other side and called her dad and said, look, no matter what we've been through, I love you, and cleared that. Now, that was the last time. It's been 4 years since she's had any symptomatology, and the doctor said, whatever happened, it's gone. It's cleared. I mean, I've got people with migraine headaches that have had conflict inside and have been sitting there trying to live Gemini bipolar lives, and they get clear all of a sudden, and it clears, and they're all of a sudden their health returns. I've said people that have had businesses that are just to go about to go bankrupt come and break through and have the courage to contact all the people they owe money to and work out payment plans in them and go out and say, I'm going to turn my business around. I'm going to pay you off in 6 months. And they went out and not only did that, paid them interest, and these people then invested back in them. I mean, amazing things have happened in the breakthrough experience.
Well, you've motivated me. I'm going to attend one of those breakthrough experiences.
Well, great. I can't wait to share it. It's a mindful, and it's a heartful, and it's basically, it's asking a new set of questions, and it's seeing life from a new paradigm.
So how do you clear emotional baggage?
Well, emotional baggage is anything that we have an imbalanced perspective on. If we're infatuated with somebody and have them on a pedestal and we minimize ourselves, they occupy our mind. And if we're resentful to them and we minimize them and exaggerate us, they occupy our mind. We only have a free mind when we don't infatuate or resent. We just love, which is a balanced perspective. We have to bring our mind into balance. That's what our intuition and our physiology is trying to guide us to do. So the breakthrough experience is teaching people how to ask a new set of questions which are inspired from intuition to guide us back to the center point where we're liberated by the truth of our own authenticity.
Wow, that's powerful. Well, what other seminars or workshops can people attend?
Well, you know, I have 72 programs that I teach.
72?
72 courses I teach around the world. Breakthrough is the signature one. That's the entry level.
Okay.
And then I have evening events of all sorts. And I have another program which is basically called the Empowerment Experience, which is 7 days.
And what is that?
Well, that's basically where we spend 7 days each day dedicated to awakening our spiritual power, our mind power, our career, vocational power, financial, family, social, and physical powers. And it's about breaking through. It's 12 hours a day just breaking through whatever's stopping those areas to empower it and giving you breaking through myths and giving you tools that have stood the test of time in each area. It's about looking at yourself from a global perspective instead of playing small.
Wow. So you think big all of the time. You're always thinking outside of the box.
Well, I mean, I always say that, you know, the soul, I always like to think of it this way. We're celestial beings having a terrestrial experience. We sometimes think small. Everybody says they're immortal souls, but then they always set mortal goals. You really want to open up your mind beyond the mortality and get onto the immortal legacy that you're here to live. And I think if you do, you bring way more contribution to the world because you give other people the permission to shine.
And so you believe that all things are possible, if you can believe.
Well, I wouldn't say all things because, you know, we can set up fantasies and delusions in our life, but anything that's congruent with our values, that aligns with the laws of the universe, is doable by human beings. We just got to be willing to never give up on them. And in some cases, they may take us decades or centuries. But if we can hold our vision and then set a thing in motion, within a century we could get it accomplished. Who knows what we can do?
Absolutely.
I want to set foot on every country on the face of the earth. I've been on 87 different locations and countries now. I'm still working on it. There's 200. I still haven't gotten all of them yet, but I'm working on it. And I want to set up centers in all the countries. And so we're working on that, setting up ways of duplicating centers. So I just know that it may take me a century to get it done, and I may have to turn it over to my kids, but that's what will get it done that way.
And so do you have certain rituals that you adhere to on a daily basis?
Yeah. I basically, on a daily basis, I go through my gratitude list. I go through my mission statement review. I update my state and my mission address. And I also go through my count your blessings at night. Those are guaranteed, and I do at least 7 or 8 major actions every day towards my goals.
And so you look at your mission statement every day?
Every day.
I have not been doing that. I'm going.
Well, I'm doing it. I have it in front of me right this minute. I have a book. It's 719 pages, and it's basically my mission. I'm turning the pages as we sit here.
I can
here.
Hear it.
Yeah, that's my baby here. My mission
statement. And so you have that book with you at all times.
I go wherever it goes. It's on my computer. I update it on my computer every day, and I print it out every quarter. But I first wrote it in 1972, the first edition, a first typed edition in 73, and the 58th rendition, 2008, now 2009. And it's my mission. That's what I focus on every day.
And so people who really have goals, people always tell me, well, Constance, I have my goals in my mind. I know my mission in my mind. How big are you on writing things down?
Well, I say a short pencil is better than a long memory, and writing things down is translating intangible ideas into tangible realities. And I think that it crystallizes in the mind clarity, and clarity of mind is powerful. You know, I always call it the clarity of a mind, and clear consciousness is what's most inspiring. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer. I will sometimes spend an hour, 2 hours on one paragraph going over it and over it and over it until it goes bang, and I get a tear in the eye of inspiration when I read it.
Wow. What about affirmations? Do you declare or decree or affirm things daily over your life?
I got more affirmations than the Carter's got pills, as they used to say. I got affirmations that are friggin' thousands. I've been saying to myself since I was 17, I'm a genius and I apply my wisdom. I'm a master persistence. I do whatever it takes. I'm a master healer. Whoever I touch becomes healthy, inspired. I'm a master reader. Whatever I read or retain, I'm always at the right place at the right time to meet the right people to make the right deal. I'm a multimillionaire money magnet. I've got thousands of them that I recite daily.
Wow. And I really, because you're such a great demonstration in the earth and a great example of a person who's just serving and how wealth and everything that you need has just come to you. And that's why I want to just sort of get really personal with you, which I hope you don't mind, about some of the things that you're doing that are really working in your life.
No, I love it. I mean, this is what I'm here for.
Okay, what about your thinking? I mean, do you ever think negative, and what do you do to combat that?
You
or
know,
are you so disciplined now that basically when a negative thought comes to your mind, you just immediately combat it?
No. I'm grateful for my negative thoughts, too. You know, I learned a long time ago that the reason why we have negative thoughts, I call them the ABCs of negativity, which are anger and aggression, blame and betrayal, and criticism and challenge, is whenever I have an unrealistic expectation on myself or others or on the universe. And so what that does is if I have a negative thought, I'm thankful because it guides me to make sure I set realistic expectations on people and myself. So I don't have it. And the second I set the thing realistic, my negativity disappears. So I don't try to get rid of it. I thank it and teach it because it teaches me to set real goals in real times about real people.
Okay. What about unforgiveness?
Well, I always say forgiveness is assuming that there's something to forgive. And it's basically assumptions that somebody's done something to you that you haven't done, which is illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you think has got more pain and pleasure or loss than gain or negative than positive, which is illusion, because there's always two sides to things. And once we get past our illusion, we just say thank you to the person we think we need to forgive.
And so if a person has been deeply hurt, maybe they were married for 30 years and then the husband ran off with another younger woman and now this woman is left alone, she's going to say thank you?
Well, if she's going to be with a man that doesn't want to be with her, I'd say that's setting you free.
Absolutely.
And also, the guy that's going out with the other one is going to learn his lesson, isn't he? He's going to end up being the old fart over this young woman that's going to take him for all the money. And in the process of doing it, she's going to be free to go out and get a younger man, possibly, if she wants.
So do you believe that you need to become what you want to experience?
Well, I think you already are, and I think you just haven't looked at what form it's in, like the guy that thought he wasn't successful. See, I always say that whatever you think is missing in your life, it's not. It's in a form you just haven't seen and recognized and honored. So you go and look at where it is and what form it is. Instead of asking God, how am I going to fulfill this, I ask, where do I already have it?
Oh, okay.
But then you're not coming, see, we always have our soulmate around us 24 hours a day, but we just don't realize that it's in one or many forms. There's one or many people playing the role. And if we think we're missing something, it's because we're not realizing that our values are creating the forms that we keep creating. We got to honor those forms, and then we appreciate who we are and how we're creating. We're all creators.
So do you have a mentor?
I got, I've studied so many mentors over the years. It's not so much a living mentor, but I've studied the great Nobel Prize winners. I study the great philosophers. I study the great religious leaders. I study the great business leaders, social political leaders, great celebrities. Anybody who's left an immortal legacy on planet Earth, I study their biographies, their lives. I read everything about it. I create a massive flow chart. I identify those traits in myself, and I wake it up and then thank them for helping me see what's true inside me.
So do you think people need mentors?
Well, individual mentors in different fields. But the thing is you want to use the mentor to wake up what you have inside, because sometimes you play in small thinking they have something you don't. I don't minimize myself relative to others. I go and find out what I see in them and go ask, where do I have it, until I thank them for revealing it to me.
Wow, that's very powerful. So you said so much today, and I have learned so much just speaking with you. It's very powerful. What would you like to leave with people? What are some simple things that they could do to begin or to bring about permanent change in their life starting today?
Well, I would make a list of all the things they can be grateful for in their life and start accumulating that every day and make that a standard daily activity. I would also make a list of all the talents that they have and skills that they have and things that they've dreamed about and things that they've consistently done that's repeated, that's a pattern that they have that they know that they actually love doing that is inspiring, and find out how they can serve people with those, because you got to find that niche, and that's where the niche is, by doing what you really love to do. As Donald Trump, I was doing a program with him a little over a year and a half ago, about 11,000 people we were speaking. He says, man, I get up in the morning, and if you're not doing what you love and loving what you do, you missed your life. You have to do that. Otherwise, you got a break on all your life. And I would do that, and then I would basically sit down and whatever money you make, save a portion of it. And then make sure that you go up to the people and know that the only thing you can ever rely on anybody to do is live according to their values, not yours. And so don't project your values onto them. Go find out what their needs are and their values are and communicate your values to them in their values. This is what makes a relationship last. You know, if you're caring, you'll communicate your values in terms of theirs. If you're careless, you'll project yours onto theirs. And if you're careful, you'll be walking on eggshells, fearing that you can't live yours with theirs. The key is to make sure that you communicate your values in terms of theirs. That's the lasting relationship if you do.
Wow. Very powerful. I just want to thank you. I'm so honored. And I know that I have learned so much. And I just want to say to you personally that you are a gift of God. You are a gift to the universe. You are a great servant. And I just pray the blessings of God on you and your life.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I can say the same thing. We're all expressions of divinity. When we're humble to divinity, we end up being service to humanity.
Thank you so much.
Thank
and,
you.
Blessings to you.
Yes, thank you. And if they would love to get in contact with me, can I give them a...
Oh, you can. You can. I forgot about that.
I'm so
excited. Okay, give
them they got to go is to drdemartini.com. drdemartini.com.
DrDemartini.com. They can get your CDs and DVDs and books. And is there a phone number?
Yeah, they can call 1-888-DMartini. DEMARTINI. 888-DMartini.
Dr. DeMartini, you're a blessing. Thank
you
so much.
Thank you.
Peace and prosperity to you.
Thank you, thank you.
My
you
pleasure.
Too. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was so powerful. And I want all of you to do exactly what Dr. DeMartini said. Within 1 week, I want you to take one concept, one principle, one idea that he shared, and begin to implement it. And one simple thing that you can do, just like he said, was to write down tonight, before you go to sleep, all of the things that you're grateful for. And remember, when you get up in the morning, do the same thing. Just begin to take small baby steps. I call it inspired action that moves you towards your purpose and your destiny. Well, this is Constance Arnold with Think, Believe, and Manifest. If you want to reach me, my website is www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com. That's Constance at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. My phone number is area code 404-402-7769. And I just want to let you know that all things are possible if you think and believe. Blessings to you.